Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to KingScottRadioTV.com. Today we're going to be hosting the Just for Men radio talk show. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk about male leadership inside of a family. And we have two special guests with us, Darren and Lamont Cooley. Now, just to separate the two, you have Darren, who is a family man, who's guiding his family in financial matters because the man is the head of the household. Then you have an investment specialist that can tell you the best way to go about doing that. So that's going to be our contrast for today. So sit back, listen in, and we're going to give you some information that's going to put you in the know. KingScottRadioTV.com. The background sounds that you hear is from Chris Bolton, No Ordinary Love, because when a man loves his family, it's no ordinary love. It's spectacular and wonderful. And as we equip ourselves to do the right thing, to be good men, good priests of our households, this is what we do. Now, Darren, we're going to come to you first.
Sure.
As the priest of your household and the things that you do to try to make sure that there's bread on the table, because that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
What are some of the strategies you use to keep yourself motivated and keep your family together?
That's a wonderful question. Firstly, even though I'm the head, with my wife, it's actually a partnership. Being the head just means that I usually am first. And when I say first, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean I'm first to motivate, first to take initiative for the difficult conversations, first to bring up things that need to be addressed in that aspect. Now, in terms of financial situations, we try to have a plan. Generally, we try to have a plan. Life sometimes derails some of those plans. But at the end of the day, it's good to at some point have some sort of plan. We live in a world where it's either money or relationships. But as a black man, you know, you have to work twice as hard to gain just half as much. It's unfortunate, but that is the reality that we live in. So we strengthen relationships with other black people as well. Our friends, we try to rub against each other. And we try to stay with the times. We try to stay with the times as to what is happening in the world financially. So once ago, like let's say in the 90s, it was taught to us, oh, just go to school and get a job. Now, with this new age it's not just having a job. It's having things to fall back on. So this is where stuff like investments come into play. You know, yes, you can have your money in the bank, but your money will not be working for you. So you have to do things to go and make your money do some work for you. So we could invest into different things like stocks, or with this new cryptocurrency era that we're in, we could invest in cryptocurrency. And all it takes is research, you know. Just go and find out about these things. It's really easy, but you have to do the research. But this is the way forward, and investing is one of the great ways in which you could help your family financially.
Well, I want to interject something here in terms of African-American money and Caucasian money. We know that there's a disparity there. We know that some get paid more for the same job. Yeah. So our guidance has to be different because we have to plan for using less or having less resources than your counterpart. So that's where the African-American and Caucasian comes in. We know that this is a fact in an African American's life. So what Lamont is going to be talking to us about is what's the best way of making the field level. And see, he's like our Deion Sanders guy. He comes in and he shows you what he's working with, and then he proves that it works. So that's why we need people like him. And hopefully we can duplicate him many times over, because we all need to have that in our back pocket. Come on in, Darren. Come on in, Lamont.
Yes, indeed. What I'd like to come in with is the concept and idea of going off of what you all are speaking on as men and leaders in our family. We also have to be leaders when it comes to finance. And the thought or the idea that I'd like to lead with here is the concept of being a master of your money, or your wealth is probably a better word, master of your wealth.
That's right.
So with that, we all can understand how our lives are becoming increasingly digital. Obviously with that, many of our assets are becoming digital. Everything from Bitcoin to domain names and personal blogs and website addresses. These are all assets. They're all wealth. They all generate activity and wealth. They're rarely considered in people's long-term financial planning, and that's the main thing that we need to change and put our eyes and perspectives on moving forward in this technological age. People need to consider how their email accounts are going to transfer. People need to consider any kind of online investment, social media handles, and all the memory and data that is contained within our digital lives, so to speak. And there's a chance to pass them down to our family members. A part of estate planning that people are overlooking, and I'm noticing that these days. You can inherit digital assets just like any other physical assets, so long as you designate them in your estate plan and you designate beneficiaries and such. And again, everything, just cryptos, NFTs, domain names, also funds kept in online accounts, like imagine like PayPal accounts, or if you have Amazon or Macy's bucks. There's all kinds of things. Digital music files and pictures, all those things are valuable. Right. And most often, a lot of times, they get lost because they're not considered as wealth. And I think that's the main step in starting to understand how to master our wealth when it comes to blockchain.
So, Lamont, I'm going to be arrogant. And as people listen to this broadcast, in their minds, they're saying, what makes you right? What makes you feel that your conviction of what you're telling us is in line with how we can navigate ourselves? Because there are those doubting minds. We know that they're out there, because if it was so easily to accept, everybody would be doing it.
Right.
But what makes you right? And I'm asking for you to be bold and make it plain, because sometimes you have to hit people over the head more than one time.
Right. Well, we definitely should have a mind that is questioning everything. That's my main ethos, is question everything, right? So that's a perfectly valid stance to have. of the keys, which are like the digital signature proving your ownership. There's nothing in between that. Crypto offers financial freedom because you can transact and manage your money globally without restrictions, borderless, and without the traditional banking system.
Well,
so what makes it trustless? Well, transactions on the blockchain are verified on a public ledger, so you can see it. You don't have to believe anybody. You can just see it.
Well,
it eliminates the need for trust in a central entity. It's that transparency that enhances control.
So Lamont, Darren is doing cartwheels over here because he has a question.
Okay, so Lamont, I'm going to speak to you as the average black family man. I have 3 kids. I have a wife. Let's say our income is $4,000 a month for 3 kids and a wife. My kids aren't at the age of 5 yet, right? Now, I didn't go to college, but as you know, we want better for our kids. So I'm trying to figure out ways in which I could secure their journey to college. Now, I might think to myself, you know what? Well, I'll just get a loan, you know? But that would put me in a spot where I'm paying an institution a large amount of money for a long period of time. What advice would you give to someone like me in terms of starting with investments?
In terms of, say the last part again?
Getting into investments.
Right. Well, if you're sending your children or planning to send your children or putting money aside to send your children to college, that is an investment. Mm-hmm. But again, you're entrusting that transfer of value, you're entrusting that in an institution, whatever university you plan to give this money to.
Right.
And you're hoping that they'll take that money and replace it or exchange it with some type of value that your child can later use in life.
Right.
So right there again, you're putting the value in a third-party intermediary. And then not only that, you're casting it down the line of time where you won't be able to tap into that wealth, or your child won't be able to tap into that wealth until they've absorbed all the learning.
Right.
So it's another bag holding. And this is what they do to all families in the low. I don't want to just say black, but just everybody that's in the lower tiers.
Right.
They push the access to their wealth down the road,
mm-hmm.
so far that they can never touch it.
Well,
the last thing I'll say on that is the internet is the most powerful tool known to mankind, and you can learn anything on there for pretty much free. So, there's many ways that you can invest in your children outside of money itself. Imagine if your child is an artist, right?
Right.
Well, where are they going to hold their art?
Mm.
Because you can hold it digitally, and then you can own those digital artifacts to the point where the child becomes of age, and then they can cash in on all their art.
Right.
And there's no intermediary between that. So imagine creating your digital space where the real estate is the value that you're, and the time that you're putting into whatever you're creating and putting on the blockchain. That's what an investment is. It's an inner investment in yourself.
Right.
And we have to reshape how we think about investment. We can't think about it as just zeros and ones and putting money somewhere and trusting it to someone else and hoping that they'll turn those zeros and ones into bigger zeros and ones.
Right.
That we have to get completely away from that model.
So I'm coming from a different perspective. I'm coming from the guy that's standing on the corner that wants to change his life. And what he's going to say to you, Lamont, is, look, man, I'm straight up broke. Peter has an APB out for Paul because Paul owes him so much money. And you're talking about investing the money, my hard-earned money into something I can't see, something I don't understand. Now, granted, you can learn it, but I'm so busy working while I'm standing on the corner, ha, 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 that I don't know what to do. I need a boost of not just confidence, but I need some courage. How can I get that out of a theory that I've never tested and that I know very little of? And that may sound repetitive in you re-explaining what you're saying, but it needs to be that clear for this audience, because that's how they feel. That's what they're talking about amongst each other. They'll never say it to your face, but since I'm going to be the prop person today, I'm going to make it clear.
Right. Well, when it comes to picking particular crypto assets, there is a format that you can follow to seek out the best opportunities when it comes to crypto. If you're just looking to flip money, because that's where it seems like the conversation always goes when it comes to investing, and you're talking to people, they just want to know, where do I put my money, right? Mm-hmm. And it still always comes down to you doing your own due diligence and your own research. You still have to put in the time, which is still your inner investment, your investment. So you want to look for profitable assets, right? So you have to focus on specific things. So when it comes to crypto, you want to look at projects that have a strong development team, right? That have individuals that are experienced and they have reputation. You can only find that out by actually going on the internet and doing research. Again, the internet is free. So you have to look at cryptocurrencies that offer something different than all the other competition. You know, what's innovative about this particular crypto? And you look at the partnerships and the adoption. You know, you look at what major companies that you know, Visas, your MasterCards, you look at these entities, these larger entities, and see who they're partnering with in the crypto space. That's a great indicator, you know. I won't get into technical analysis because you have to have some skill in that, but outside of all those things, there's many things you can look on. Focus on cryptocurrencies that address real-world problems. This is the main thing that I speak on. There has to be a real-world problem that's being served today by these projects, you know. They solve specific issues or provide some kind of utility today, not tomorrow. They're providing this utility today in the real world at scale. If you put all of these metrics in, you'll naturally start to understand the space because you're putting in the time to do the research and you're looking into these projects and looking into these companies and looking into these CEOs. You're looking in, and all of this is adding to your value of wealth upstairs, where the master sits in the head, right? You can't be a master if you're uninformed. Mm-hmm. Can't be. So you have to put the time into research. And it's why I don't necessarily just point to things and say, put money here, put money there. Because it defeats the purpose of making you masterful in understanding the direction of your finance, you know?
So now, the point that I'm going to add is aggressive. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you have to change who you are. You have to reinvent yourself. When Lamont says that you have to, the internet is free. Well, I don't have a computer. The library does.
Yep.
They have computers that you can get on. You may have to work in some constraints, but you can access this. You have to change your behaviors. And the reason why I'm using the word aggressive is that you have to get off of the pity party. you can actually promote yourself. You have to tell yourself, I need to stop being around what I call chickens, and I need to learn how to fly with the eagles, because standing on a corner talking about what you're going to do, we've been doing that for eons. Now we have to begin to change our minds and get ourselves motivated to say, I know I can do better. It doesn't mean that you have to have a 40 in your hand or holding a joint. Or if you choose to, some of that time needs to be put in you developing yourself, your own skills. God gave us all skills. And if you learn to develop them, identify them, and listen to others, because we all don't know it all. There are avenues or things that Lamont does not know. There are things that I certainly will not know. But if I listen to other people, listen to other concepts, talk to different types of people, I can learn. Yep. And from that ladder, I can climb higher. And then when it comes time for me to jump off, I can fly like an eagle. So, Darren, as you guide yourself, we're all going through challenges in our lives. Mm-hmm. And you're the everyday man trying to raise 3 kids, have a wife, and still keep a smile on your face under all of this depression that you could use. What would advice that you would give?
Like I said, me and my wife we have a partnership. So in that, there are days where she might be 80 and I might be 20. There's days where I might be 50 and she's 50. There's days where I might be 60 and she might be 40. But one of the main things that we try to do is communicate. There's no progress if it's just bottled up inside. You know, you have to voice your issues, voice the things that are concerning to you. And then with doing that, you would be able to receive feedback. For example, I come and speak to Pastor Scott a lot. I mean, it might be a good day, it might be a bad day, but whatever advice he has or whatever he's dealing with, I could learn something from that. And that in itself provides a way for me to move forward.
So, Lamont, in terms of your education, the things that you're doing, my understanding is that you're taking a trip to learn more about what you do. Can you talk about that?
Again, one of the biggest institutions in the fintech space is company Ripple, and they have just recently won a major decision in the courts against the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, in the basis of their business model is a digital asset called XRP, and the SEC was charging them with selling an illegal security, and they won that case in that XRP has been declared a digital asset and not a security. Right. So on the secondary market, it can be traded without any restrictions. And to celebrate that victory, as well as, you know, all of the great things that are coming in the near future for the company, they are throwing a major event in New York City this Friday just to celebrate, you know, the space. And I'll be there. It's going to be at the Hammerstein Ballroom. It was by RSVP, so you have to be invited. So I'll be there. There'll be all of the major heads in global finance will be at this event, and it's an opportunity to connect and share ideas, like you say, because that's really where the wealth is. It's when people share. And just going off of what Darren has said and you said today, the one thing that homeless person that you spoke about, the one thing that they do have, they might not have money, they might not have assets, they might not have wealth, but the one thing that they do have is their story. And it's the main thing that keeps people back is they're afraid to give their testimony. But your testimony is your story, and every story is valuable. I work in film, and all we do in film is tell stories. And those stories generate inspiration and value to other people that might be going through the same circumstances, or people that may want to avoid certain pitfalls. That's the power of story and sharing your testimony with others, and it's valuable. And I implore people to find ways to give their testimony in an open and honest way, and you can own that. You can self-publish. You can digitally put your story in many, many places online where they can garner attention and connect you to other people where you can share and exchange value.
So, Lamont, you mean you have the audacity to not be standing on the corner? not to be holding a 40 and smoking a blunt and trying to better yourself. You have the arrogance to be better than what you thought you could be. You mean you gonna push it that far?
Absolutely. I want to be able to tell the most incredible story to my children when I do have them.
Well, Darren has another question. He's been shooting. I mean, when he wants to ask a question, he just goes, you know, spastic in the studio. And I'm glad, because he's a very smart guy. Usually his questions answers another question I have. So, Darren, go right ahead.
Sure. So, Lamont, let's say I took your advice and I went online, I did some research, I got my digital wallet, I started buying cryptocurrencies, but after the first 2 months, it starts to feel like I'm losing money. You know, like, this isn't working out for me. What advice would you give to a person like that?
That's a wonderful question. And I'll answer it this way. When you exchange fiat currency for a car, right? When you drive that car off the lot, it depreciates in value.
Yep.
The second you drive it off the lot. When you're driving home with your brand new car, do you ever question in your mind, oh my gosh, I'm losing money? Or are you utilizing the utility of your asset that you just purchased? Because it's getting you from point A to point B.
Right.
So what I said all that to say, we have to not think about digital assets as money. We have to start thinking about them as assets.
Right.
Yes, you can use your asset like money, but the main point is it's an asset. So the monetary value will fluctuate. Mm-hmm. But you have ownership of an asset.
That's right.
When you have a fiat dollar, take the dollar that's in your wallet right now. Take it out, unfold it, look at it. That's a debt instrument. You do not own it. You just have the current possession. You don't own it. You don't have to believe me. Go and burn your money. Guess what? That's illegal. You know why it's illegal to destroy currency? It's illegal because you do not own it.
It's not yours.
It's not yours. So, again, when you have a digital asset, its value is controlled and owned by you. You hold it. You own it. And we're talking about investments. Investments are longer term. You're talking 3 years, 4 years, 5 years.
Right.
So you would never invest and look at the price every single day, wondering or not, whether or not you're going up and down in value. Because ultimately, what you see going on outside situation where inflation is going to continue to rise, regardless of what they're telling you on the news. So if you hold an asset that's valuable, what do you think it's going to translate into terms of dollars when they start printing money like crazy? It's going to cost you more dollars to buy the same asset. So you have to look at it in terms of that. You hold this asset, and it's a long-term hold, and you know that it will increase in value over time because of the scarcity. Digital assets cannot be printed like fiat currency. There's a limited supply. Once that supply is gone, there's no more other than the people that like to trade or sell. So, for example, Bitcoin, there's only 21 million units. There's 8 billion people on the planet, but there's only 21 million Bitcoins. Not 22, not 23. There'll never be more than 21 million. So the supply, if you're going to look at it like money, the supply of Bitcoin will only ever decrease. How I started the conversation about estate planning. There are people that have died, you know, they're deceased, and their Bitcoins are inaccessible. So there's millions of Bitcoin that you can't even touch anymore because they're locked away, which also decreases the supply. So you have to think about things from that perspective and understand that when you buy a digital asset, you have an ownership in, look at it like digital real estate. You don't buy a house today and then worry if next week the price of that house drops. Because you're living in the house. There's utility from that asset. You're getting living out of it.
Right.
So we have to redesign the way we think about wealth and money. Money is the false light. Your value is in you and all your memory and all your stories. Wow. That's where the value is. So we have to find ways to extract that value and preserve that value so we can pass it down or whatever we want to do with. We want to be in control of it so some third party can't come in and take it away. When you put all your value into your money, someone can take your money. Get a divorce, and then you understand what I mean when someone can take your money.
Woo, boy, that.
We got to stop trying to put everything into money. Money is not worth that.
Shots fired.
Value is not money. Money is not value. They're two separate entities. Right. You want to increase your value. You don't want to necessarily increase your money.
Right.
Well, this has been another great opportunity to talk with you again. Now, I know from a spiritual point of view that we carry two angels with us. We know that you're traveling to New York, so I'm going to lend you one of mine to get you back here safely. Because we need more of this. We need to do more of this, not just for ourselves and educating each other, but for the world and to educate others as well, because us holding on to these stories, like you said, is not useful at all. We're at the end of this particular broadcast, but we want to thank you, Lamont and Darren, for being a part of something great. God is orchestrating these opportunities, and at some point as we begin to learn more, we're going to use these digital assets to make us some money.
That's right.
In saying that, we appreciate each and every one of you. I always want to mention my wife, Pastor Carrie Scott, because she's special. Mm-hmm. And as Darren gives his last accolades, and Lamont, you can take us on out.
Sure. It was definitely a pleasure. Lamont, you sound like a well filled with information. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I appreciate how you spoke on ownership. We as Black people, we need to get into that mindset of owning it, having things belong to us. And this way, we not only will have things to pass down to our children, but we become masters of it. We could do what we want with it because it's ours, you know? And I look forward to speaking with you again.
Likewise. Wonderful connecting with you today.
And Lamont, anyone you, I always think about your dad. we can see where it comes from. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. So make sure you tell him we give a big shout out to him here at King Scott Radio TV. Is there anyone you want to acknowledge? You can, you know, you don't have to. Just we make sure we open up the mics for that opportunity as well.
Well, the men are certainly leaders in my family, but I'd like to give a shout out to all the women in my family, because the women are the glue. They're the womb, and they will hold everything together.
Amen. This has been another broadcast of KingScottRadioTV.com. I did not announce myself, but I'm Pastor Kevin T. Scott of At My Father's Table, and we are going to continue to do shows like this. Keep tuning into our station and listen in, because we're always going to have something bright and right for you. KingScottRadioTV.com.